This is Greg Tingle reporting for Media Man Australia. Finally, after months of negotiation, we're speaking to David Wade, the controversial author of the novel Millionaires and Models. Welcome to the program, David.
Thanks very much, mate.
It's my pleasure. So, David, you've been in the news many times over the news, but over the years, particularly lately, all sorts of allegations flying back and forth in the tabloids of the Australian media business. But, David, starting off on a positive, what have been some of the highlights of your career?
Well, I suppose the highlights really have been that I've been involved in the gaming industry and most other industry for a number of years. And also Miss Weiss, marketing the Miss Weiss Festival Agency, giving a whole new slant to that career. But everything I've done, I've always looked at it in a different view and marketed accordingly.
Yes, well, I say that's part of the secret, if you like, to success is being different, is being unique and being noticed, and you certainly have been for both many good reasons and also some of the other reasons. So, tell me, some of this stuff being bandied around in the newspapers at the moment, what does it all stem from, and what sort of things can you tell us that aren't necessarily being reported in Sydney's newspapers at the moment, just to give our audience a bigger picture on this?
Where I've written why I penned Millionaires and Models is I feel that the whole world of the high-class core girl and men in general, we don't seem to want to know the truth. We're very much a society now that has a ban, a homosexual ban, a woman and a lesbian hanging on a number four by a fingernail. I think that if we're going to accept men and all these forms, and we should accept women and all their forms, and I think it has to become the truth has to finally be told from a man's point of view.
Yeah, well, I respect you already, even though we've only been speaking for a few seconds now, but not everybody in this world has the guts to actually stand up for what they believe in, so we share that in common. It becomes very controversial in some of these do-gooders' positions, saying, oh, he shouldn't see that, he shouldn't say that, and all this sort of stuff, but basically it's a free country at this stage, thank God. So, what are some of the most controversial things that you've been involved in over the years, and how much of a real story was told in Millionaires and Models?
Well, I made a point of being honest about myself in Millionaires and Models, telling my down, you know, my ups and my downs. I've been quite positive in the way I've presented it. I think people just have to realise that the world as it is today, we're supposed to be a monogamous society, but really we're very polygamous. And I think that men get blamed for a lot of things in regards to their sexual appetite, but I don't think there's a full understanding of the heterosexual man. I think women are more understanding of the homosexual man than the heterosexual, and women do not have an idea what it's like to be a man, and that's
yes, I think I have a good understanding of what you're saying, and I think our audience is smart enough to realise as well. Recently on one of the prominent Sydney radio stations, there was a female journalist that called in, and she was talking about how women have been victims of crime and domestic matters, but what she was actually presenting was a biased view. They needed somebody like me to call in and go, hang on, women aren't the only victims here, that sometimes the roles are reversed and it's the blokes, and the blokes may even be more reluctant to speak out than the women.
Well, I think you're very right. I think one of the most astounding facts that I've just learned recently from the Cancer Council is that a young male has a greater risk of getting testicular cancer than a young girl of getting breast cancer or cervical cancer.
Yes, but it hardly gets to run. It's one of those things that's hardly ever spoken about.
Well, nobody, believe it or not, men's magazines advertise breast cancer campaigns in their magazines, but there is not one men's magazine who's running a campaign for young males to have cervical ultrasound checks.
Well, I guess that's the media business with the emphasis on the business, as in show, and they always say, well, there's the business, and the business is the advertising dollars.
I think one of the things that in this book that I brought out is that from a recent survey done by La Trobe University,
Could be raised as well. Who in this world is supposed to be an authority on what is functional and what is dysfunctional? I mean, what is it, you know, like, it's just one of those questions that sort of saying, okay, what's normal, what's abnormal? I don't know whether anyone is in the position to say that. You get all these people with four letters after their name, but what does it really mean? They've had their heads stuck in books. That's about what it means, and perhaps a little bit of life experience as well.
Well, I think that, you know, like, I have the ability to know what real life is like, because when I was 28 years of age, I had testicular cancer, and I had 6 months to live. I beat the testicular cancer, but I suffered, because of operations and everything, that I suffered what was called retrograde ejaculation. I was 28 years of age, so I would never have a normal sex life again. But I have coped with this, and I have learned over the last 10 years to understand men's problems. And I think that the problems are not understood by men. And I can understand why men seek call girls, because they relate to somebody who's actually doing one thing that a lot of partners don't do, and that's listen.
Yep, I can understand what you're saying, but having said that, just for our audience and interest, I have been with my steady girlfriend for 12 months at all as well, just in case our audience is trying to look into that further than they need be. So, David, what are some of the current projects that you're now involving yourself in, other than the book, of course, or is that still going full speed ahead?
The book's an amazing issue. I've got a lot of interest from America. It will actually be from my pictures in the next couple of weeks. Also, there's a major reality, Millionaires and Models reality TV program that we're discussing with a number of companies that will be relevant when the book's released, that we're going to have five high-class call girls working out of a penthouse, actually seeing clients, and we'll be in a total reality TV mentality.
Sounds interesting. I remember seeing a couple of flashing banners and buzzards flying around in the a bit more than the past 12 months or so. Perhaps that was that to perhaps warm up the audience, or that wasn't coincidence, was it?
The industry that people wouldn't want to see, you know, find high-class call girls on TV, and, you know, I think, well, it's very hard when I'm talking to a producer of a TV program, and he's a homosexual, and he's telling me what the heterosexual world wants to watch.
It's like that. You see those skinny models walking down Paris, France, and I think real blokes want a woman with a bit more curves, rather than the ones that probably had a chest on her. And of course, the modelling industry is often, but not always, dictated by homosexuals. So, and I guess getting back to the reality TV show, perhaps they may not be wanting to say, oh, David, it's a great idea, because perhaps that it's your idea, you may have some licences on that. So, I mean, they don't probably want to promote you if it was their baby, and they're going to be making all the money from it. They'd probably be saying what a wonderful thing it is. Have you ever come across that sort of thing?
I find that the greatest things out there are the fear, you know, there's the fear factor of women and the fear of pain. There's a lot of fears out there amongst the heterosexual world. The homosexual world, I find that heterosexuals have embraced that and openly come out in support of the homosexual world. But to be quite honest, I've learned the last 10 years of the heterosexuals, they're the ones that are in the closet.
I do understand what you're saying there. One thing I've been meaning to ask you, tell me about your internet strategy, because in the past, I remember looking at the MissFlight website, and there was both some traditional and some big-name logos and names on the website, and then there were some others as well which weren't so familiar. So if you wouldn't mind, just tell us a little bit about that without letting the cat totally out of the bag. The MissFlight website and Millionaires and Models website?
Yes. Peter Angelopoulos was an adaptation of the Miss Wise Escort Agency. But we have a lot of models who we chat with a lot of the clients who are going on dinner dates. It's actually sort of taking it to a new level. You find that a lot of people come over here to Australia and they just want to sort of work it into high class tour guide, really, some instances. A lot of people think that everything's connected with models and call girls and all that has to be sex, but it's not. People want to meet people in that field and understand, sort of like a quasi tour guide, I suppose.
Yes. When did you realise that you really came onto a business concept there that was going to really work?
Well, it's just over the last 10 years you've seen a gradual transition of how we've marketed the world's oldest profession, and from that there's always spin-offs. We're also organising for the end of this year, GNZ, probably one of the biggest headless events here in Australia. It's quite amazing that the gay Mardi Gras here in Sydney is now frequented more by heterosexuals and homosexuals. And we're now sort of saying, well, look, heterosexual world, we're trying to put something on for you, but it's very hard to break into media, etc. It's all governed by people who are actually homosexual.
I understand what you're saying. One question just off the track a little bit, but speaking to somebody like yourself who's got a lot of life experience, you may be able to give us some insight. We've been looking at reasons why a lot of unsavoury types over the years have been known to entrench themselves within the church. I mean, it's no secret about, the Catholic Church, and you also hear about horrible crimes coming out of nunneries and all that kind of thing. I mean, how much of a problem is that, and why do you think these sort of groups going under the Christian banner tend to breed this sort of dysfunctionality?
Well, I think you've got to look at it in today's current climate, where the church is now turning around and saying openly that we will now ordain homosexual priests. I think it all comes back to the fear of women. It is, without doubt, a secret men's business. Women were not ordained as priests, and they said because the Bible said that there was no woman who was an apostle. Well, I hope there was no apostle, there was no possession, because that was the story of hearing. But I have seen over the last 10 years the fear of women and the fear of paganism is probably the catalyst for the church to generate really the heterosexual world, because it's becoming quite evident now that the church is ordaining homosexual priests, that they really laid their cards on the line.
Yes, and getting back to your core business at hand, who have been some of the biggest, and who continue to be some of your biggest supporters, David?
I think the supporters of what we're doing now are really the media starting to see that the world of the high class core girl is we can accept men in all their forms, and we should accept women in all their forms. And I think it is becoming quite evident that men and couples are using high class core girls as sexual surrogates. And I think because of this, because it's now decriminalised here in Australia, in Sydney, that it's no longer illegal, and all the things that they were concerned about are no longer relevant. So the media is looking at this and more open to this than they've ever been done before. I think one of the things that I always used to be astounded with is every time the media did an article on prostitution, they'd race down to the King's Cross to the red light area and photograph a girl on the corner. Really now it's some beautiful looking model sitting at a coffee table talking to a wealthy gentleman.
Yes, don't things change, and just for the benefit of our audience to make this interview even better than it already is, what's a little bit of an inside look, and what's something that you can tell our audience that hasn't been properly reported on yourself or on your business in the traditional newspapers and media coverage here in Australia?
Well, I think the book is outlining things that women always want to know. Have always fantasized, have always asked the question, what would it be like to be a call girl? And then they go further and they say, why would my man or why would a man go to a call girl? And I think that this is what one question that the book finally answers, and that is from a man's point of view. I mean, we continue to use the analogy like men from Mars, women from Venus, but I'm saying call girls are from Earth. And the reality is that once and for all, from a man's point of view, you're going to see why men go to call girls and why girls that today are becoming high-class call girls. And I think that is probably the salient point of anything I've done over the last 10 years.
Yes, and for the benefit of our audience, what's the best way they can make contact for you if they want to find out more information about the book? You've got a website address, haven't you?
Yes, the website is engineersandmodels.com. It's highlights on the book and where the book will be able to be purchased from. It's 150 pages, it's a paperback, it's at $34.95. It's reviews are getting all throughout America at the moment by recognised people in the industry. And it's very interesting, I suppose, from everyone's point of view, because it's coming from a man who's been involved in this industry for 10 years, and I think that's what a lot of women are taking note of.
Yeah, it sounds like a very interesting read. All right, David, well, it's been excellent to speak to you, and I'd like to wish you the rest of all success in your career, and we look forward to future contact.
Thanks very much, mate.
Thank you. Bye-bye.